I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning.
Another evening with Zion's Trumpet. Yours truly, Brother Daniel. How's everybody doing out there in Pal Talk Land? Everybody doing okay this week? Well, we're doing all right here. Joey came in with his guitar, and I think he wants to sing a song.
Hey, you guys. I was just meditating on Matthew 22, verse 37 today, and it was kind of coming pretty fresh to me. Let me just read it, because it's one of the things that is very much one of the most common commandments, which is the great commandment, but then it's the most commonly ignored. So let me just read it in verse 22, Matthew 37. It says, Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And you know, I was just meditating about it today, and that's why this common song, it's a church song that I was playing today. It was just coming out of my heart because, you know, I was getting touched by the Spirit of God. Concerning the love of God, concerning the Lord wanting his people to get back to their first love. Because especially in these last days that Jesus talked about, Matthew 24, that the love of many will wax cold. You know, so, you know, in the midst of deception that's going on right now, and because of iniquity, you know, well, people get deceived, and then they end up sinning and not knowing that they're sinning, or deliberately they're sinning. But the thing is, the root of it is because they love themselves. They end up loving themselves instead of loving God. They forsake the great commandment that Jesus talks about in Matthew chapter 22. And so I was just kind of being blessed today. And, you know, so I just want to sing this song. You know, I can't sing or anything or play guitar. I'm just going to sing it from my heart.
Love you, Lord, and
I lift my voice to worship you, oh my soul, rejoice, take joy, my King, in what you hear. May it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you. Oh, my soul, rejoice, take joy, my King, in what you hear. May it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. May it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear.
Okay, that's all I wanted to share. Good night.
All right. Anybody else have anything to share? Looks like Andrew has something.
All right. Well, good evening, everyone. I just wanted to get on and share tonight what has been on my mind over the past week. And it is sad to see how many people would rather be in right standing with society or their church or even a small group like Zion's Trumpet than to be in right standing with God. It is sad because it will be God to whom we will have to give an account for everything we have done. Yet I see so many people who act as though being right in right standing before the brethren equals being in right standing with God, when the fact is the opposite is what is true. If you are in right standing with God, then being in right standing with the brethren comes automatically. It seems to me that much of the problem is that if someone desires to have spiritual fellowship with you, it should come natural that they ought to be in right standing with God. Yet that's not always the case, as some folks tend to drift off into deception. And so if God shows you that a person is in deception, then it is our duty to separate from them. It should go without saying that the deeper the problem, the deeper the separation. Thus, my point here is that if the person from whom you are separating is more concerned with being in right standing before God, then they would go to God and repent and get their lives back in order before God. Obviously, if they didn't, then the separation would become deeper and more permanent. But if they did repent, then God would show you and perhaps put it on your heart to give them an encouraging word, or that you could have spiritual fellowship with them once again. And I was also thinking about how many churches have gone into full-blown apostasy, and how even people who have come out of the church system can still be easily pulled into deception. And while there are many reasons for all the deception, I think one small key is to realize that God is not just a pool that you wade into. Rather, He is like a river, and if you step out of the flow of that river, the river does not stop and wait for you to decide if you want to jump back in or not. So then suddenly you find yourself out of the flow of the Spirit of God. There's a song we sing called "Turn My Heart, O Lord," and there is a verse which goes, "Turn my heart, O Lord, till my whole life flows in the river of your Spirit, and my name brings honor to the Lamb." That song means a lot to me because I am just so thankful to the Lord for His truth, and as I have embraced that truth, He has turned my heart to flow in the river of His Spirit. And that is what means the most to me, being in right standing with God, flowing in His Spirit, and embracing the truth that He has shown me. Then it is automatic that I am able to have spiritual fellowship with others who are doing the very same exact thing. So that was all I had for tonight. Back to Dan.
Amen. Good for you. That's right, Andrew. Anybody else have anything to share? Looks like Brother Johnny has something to share. Go ahead, Brother Johnny, you got the mic.
Well, just like Joey was touched by a song, I was also touched by a song, but so I do have a song, but I was going to share a little bit first on, I want to thank you, Dan, the brethren, Mama, and for all the time that has been spent, the hours and hours of work and you know insight you've given me, and praise God for the breaking through. And just like that last song you played, Give Me Jesus, that's all I want anymore. That is it. And anyway, as you know, I get a little bit excited now about what's going on out there in this world. And before, I didn't have that in me. But it stems from what the Lord has done with me in showing me, you know, about this country and how it was formed, and God was in the picture all the time, yeah, back when it was founded, and seeing what it's turned into now is just getting so sad and disgusting, and it's just terrible. It's just spiritual wickedness everywhere. And the songs I've been listening to this week and going over and writing out, this one here touched me. And it talks about darkness covering the earth, and it's from Isaiah chapter 60. And it's actually talking about Israel there. But the song, you know, we're a spiritual Israel. And it, verse 1, 2, and 3 is, "Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee, and the Gentiles shall come to the light, and the kings to thy brightness of thy rising." It's just a blessing to have the Lord finally in my heart the right way. And you know, the darkness is just getting darker and darker. And, you know, not too long ago you shared that, you know, we really need to walk as Jesus walked. And as I was pondering that, since you said it, something that came to me was, when you start to walk as Jesus walked, then Satan starts to tempt you like he tempted Jesus. And there is lots of temptations and lots. You know, that's why I finally saw the need and got the realization of the armor, why we need the armor, why the enemy wants to stop you, because you're in obedience to the Lord, and that he don't like that at all. And another line in a song talks about arrows that fly by the day. And that's what happens, like in Ephesians 6, and it talks, you know, it talks about quench the arrows that are going to be coming your way, because they're coming. You start getting obedient and start walking like Jesus did, you're going to have arrows, and you're going to have thoughts, and you're going to have a warfare, and don't forget it. And that's what I'm trying to do, is not forget it, keep my armor on, and praise the Lord for where he has brought me. So I was really blessed by this song, and here it is. Oh, the darkness covers all the earth, and grows darkness all the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. He's your light, he's your light. He will guide you through the darkest night. He's your light, he's your light.
He will guide you through the darkest night. He's your light, and he shines through you and me. For 1,000 shall fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand. But I'm not afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrows that fly by the day. He's my light, he's my light. He will guide me through the darkest night. He's my light, he's my light. He will guide me through the darkest night. He's my light, and he shines through you and me. He's alive, he's alive. He has conquered death, we shall do the same. He's alive, he's alive. He has conquered death, we shall do the same. He's alive, he's alive. He has conquered death, and we shall do the same. As though the darkness covers all the earth and grows darkness all the peoples, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. He's your light, he's your light. He will guide you through the darkest night. He's your light, he's your light. He will guide you through the darkest night. He's your light, and he shines through you and me.
Okay. Thanks, Johnny. That was good. Well, anybody else have anything to share? No? Well, maybe afterwards then. I didn't have too much on my mind this week, so I did go through some websites that I visit every once in a great while. Since it's been a long time since we talked about my favorite apostasy watcher, him tonight. You know, I haven't been to his website for a while. I decided to visit the other day. And I went to his commentary page. It was where he lists articles from other authors. And to see, you know, who he was promoting, what he was promoting. And at the top of the commentary page, there's this disclaimer. And it says inclusion of an article on this page does not imply the full endorsement of the author's website, or the author's beliefs by Apostasy Watch, except as it applies to this specific article. Please use godly discernment. Okay? So, in other words, Mr. Lumbly of Apostasy Watch agrees that with the content of the articles he puts on his commentary page. He may not endorse all the beliefs of the people, the writers he puts on there. He may not endorse their websites, their entire ministry, but he does agree with the particular articles he posts. That's why he posts them, obviously, right? Well, so I was scrolling down to see, you know, who he was promoting, what he was promoting, and I noticed two articles right away. The first one was an article called The Inheritance of Abraham, and it's by a well-known Jew hater and replacement theologian named Stephen Sizer. You may remember Stephen Sizer. I talked about him once last year. I put up a little cartoon where I interviewed him. And the other one was an article by a guy called Adam Marshalk. I don't know much about this Marshalk fellow, but I'm very familiar with Sizer. He's a world-famous Palestinian apologist and Israel basher. He's a vicar in the Scottish Church, and except for his occasional claim that he wants to see the Israelis and Palestinians living in peace, everything he does, everything he says, everything he writes is just the opposite. And his views are totally, totally one-sided. They're pro-Palestinian. You know, his view of the land belongs to the Palestinians. The Jews are invaders. They came and they occupy the land, and they can do no right because they're the occupiers. It's not their land. And he automatically accepts anything that the Palestinians say. He supports anything they do. He covers for them. He never mentions the terrorism in any of his articles, never mentions anything they do wrong. But he rejects everything the Israelis have to say about the situation, constantly pointing out their errors, most of which are false accusations, some of which are blatant, you know, lies and total fabrications. Like I said, I spoke about Mr. Sizer, last year in a message called The Vicious Vicar, because that's what he is. On the outside, he appears gracious and soft-spoken, very patient. But on the inside, he's a fanatical, Jew-hating, pro-Palestinian apologist. And he rejects the idea that the Jews are still God's chosen people, or that they have any right to the land. He especially hates the fact that many evangelical Christians support the state of Israel. In his books, his articles, his interviews, he's constantly demonizing Israel, bashing Israel. He's demonizing Christian Zionists, calls them racists, theological idiots, so forth. And he's constantly chastising them for supporting Israel. And though he chooses his words very carefully and speaks very softly, has a gentle manner about him, what he says about the Israelis, if you listen to it again and again closely, it reveals his hatred for the Jews and his hatred for the, especially the Jews in Israel and particularly the settlers who were living in Judea and Samaria, what's called the West Bank. And anything he writes about Israel is slanted, one-sided, and propaganda. What makes him and people like him so dangerous is that they're really brilliant and they can articulate their false doctrine very well. And also, they're very good at presenting. They have no conscience. Their conscience has been seared. So they have no presenting a problem, presenting outrageous lies. Lies after lies after lies. One right to the other, strung together in a matter of seconds. In 60 seconds, this guy can tell you more lies than you can think of. I mean, just string them all together. One sentence statements, and everyone's a lie, and everyone will take 20 or 30 minutes to disprove. All right, because it's easy to throw an accusation out there. It's hard to disprove it, you know, and expose it and correct it, especially if you have to have source material and documentation, all right? But they're very dangerous, people like him. And the lies that they spew out, you know, in a matter of seconds, take a lot of time and a lot of energy to disprove. I gave two examples of that in my message back in 212. The first was his statement that Ariel Sharon's visit to the Temple Mount back in 2000 was what triggered what they called the Al-Aqsa Intifada. That was a lie, and I explained how that all came down. The second lie was that he accused the Israeli settlers, the ones living in Judea and Samaria, that they were deliberately poisoning the water of the Palestinians who lived below them by dumping their sewage on their lands or in their streams. And again, those accusations were totally false. They're complete fabrications. But he spills them out in less than 10 seconds, and it takes, you know, half an hour to prove he's wrong. Well, this guy has a long history of promoting and partnering with extremists. Any impartial evaluation of his views would show clearly that he's a Jew hater. He has a special hatred for Jews who live in Judea and Samaria, because that whole area is slated to become a major portion of the future Palestinian state that everybody's talking about. But even if his writings and speeches and his mannerisms can fool you, certainly the kind of people he hangs around with will tell you what kind of person he is. Most of them are Arabs, and all of them are Jew haters. Now, the kind of company man keeps clearly reveals what kind of person he is. You know, if you're not a drunk, you're not going to hang around drunks. If you like to shoe pool, you're not going to hang around Christians to go to church. You're going to be with the bars or the pool hall. If all your friends are Arabs or Jew haters, guess what? You're a Jew hater. This guy, he's constantly talking about equality and justice, and he claims to be interested in these things. He claims to be impartial, which he's not. He just wants the Palestinians and the Jews and Israel to live in peace. But see, he's constantly doing things and saying things that puts to lie that claim. And I'm just going to share one of them. He provided a lot of support for Helen Thomas back in 2010. You remember Helen Thomas? I mentioned her because she died this month. She died about a week ago. I don't know if you know who Helen Thomas was or even heard this or remember, but she was a journalist. She's been through 10 administrations. Well, she made a derogatory remark about the Jews in an interview, and it got her in trouble, and she ended up resigning. It was back in 2010. Somebody asked her, did a camera on her, and they asked her if she had any comments on Israel at that time. At that time, the incident with the Turkish ship, they're trying to run the blockade, and the Israelis got in that ship, and some people died, and Turkey went ballistic, and they broke off relations, and everybody was telling Israel to apologize, to make amends, and Israel wouldn't do it. It was around that time, and somebody asked her what she thought of Israel, and she said, this is her word. She said, tell them, that's the Jews, tell them to get the hell out of Palestine. She said, remember, these people, that is the Palestinians, are occupied. It's their land. It's not Germany. It's not Poland. Then the guy asked her, well, where should the Jews go if they leave Israel? And she said, they should go home. He said, well, where's home? And she said, well, Poland, Germany, and America, and everywhere else. That was her answer, okay? Well, those comments sparked an outrage among many people. And within a few days, a video that he had taken had gone viral. It spread through the blog sphere, you know, like wildfire. Because not only were those comments outrageous and racist themselves, the timing of them couldn't have been worse, because she said them during a White House event which was celebrating Jewish heritage, all right? So while they're celebrating the Jewish heritage, which is connected directly with the land of Israel, she said the Jews should all get out of Israel and go back to Europe. Well, she got into deep trouble instantly, and she figured out she had opened her mouth a little too wide, so she posted some kind of lame apology on a website a day later, but it was too late. She had to resign. She had infuriated too many people. Her apology went like this. She said, I deeply regret my comments I made last week regarding the Israelis and the Palestinians. They do not reflect my heartfelt belief that peace will come to the Middle East only when all parties recognize the need for mutual respect and tolerance. May that day come soon. Well, that was a joke. The only reason she deeply regretted her comments is because her comments got her fired. They abruptly ended her career. All right, her true feelings were on display during the interview. She believes the land belongs to the Palestinians. And she views the Jews as invaders and occupiers. Well, a few months later, an Israeli newspaper called Haaretz followed up on her story and gave an interview to a girl who wrote the article and printed it. And she was totally unrepentant. And she said her comments back then reflected exactly what she thought. This is from the article, the Haaretz article. It says, former White House correspondent Helen Thomas has acknowledged she touched a nerve with remarks about Israel that led to her retirement. She said she retired early. She's going to retire. This lady says, but she says the comments were exactly what I thought. Even though she realized soon afterward that it was the end of her job, she says, I hit the third rail. You cannot criticize Israel in this country and survive. Well, anybody that knows this woman knows she's an incorrigible Jew hater. I mean, she's not interested in seeing peace established between the Israelis and the Palestinians at all. How could she be interested in such a thing when she believed the whole land, belongs to the Palestinians? Though claiming that her heartfelt belief was that peace will come to the Middle East was just a way to calm the political storm that she unleashed by her comments. Her true desire was spoken when she gave that reporter her answer, which is to see the Jews of Israel leave and go back to Germany and Poland. Also, her statement that you can't criticize Israel in this country and survive as a joke shows how deranged her mind was. You know, saying that Israel should recognize the need for mutual respect and tolerance of Palestinians, that can be viewed as legitimate criticism. I believe they already do, to a large extent. They can't do any more until the Palestinians reciprocate with the same kind of recognition. But you could say that's legitimate criticism. But saying the Jews should leave Israel en masse and go back to Germany and Poland because it's not their land and they're occupiers, that goes far beyond the realm of political criticism, all right? That's rhetoric, that's hatred, that's racism. And she played the role of the martyr, the political martyr, from the time she resigned to her death, you know, a couple weeks ago. But she was no martyr. You know, if a white journalist had stood up, you know, during a black Africa month or something and said, oh, send all the blacks to Africa, his career would be over in a matter of hours. If a Jew stood up and said, oh, the Palestinians should go back to Egypt and Syria because that's where 90% of them came from originally, during a celebration of Palestinian Heritage Week or something, he would suffer the same fate. You know, she suffered the same fate as anybody. The only kind of person that could survive a public declaration of racism like that would be a black journalist. You see, because it's politically correct for black to be racist. They can stand up and say, kill whitey, kill their babies, disembowel them. Nobody says a thing, nobody blinks an eye. So the only person who could get away with what she did was a Negro journalist. Anyway, after her retirement, she also did an interview on CNN on a show called The Joy Bear Show. And during that interview, this girl, Joy, was trying to get her to acknowledge that her statements were insensitive. And instead of saying, well, they might have been insensitive, what she said was, the Jews stole the Palestinians' land. She said the Jews who live in Israel aren't Semites. She's a Semite because this Helen Thomas was of Lebanese descent. Her mother and father were Lebanese Christians that moved to the United States. So she's a Lebanese. She says she's a Semite, but the Jews in Israel aren't. They're Europeans. They came from Europe. All right, so that's why they should leave Europe. I mean, leave Israel and go back to Europe. She said they didn't. And then she said, you didn't have to leave Europe. After World War II, they didn't have to go anywhere. They could have stayed in Europe because there's no more persecution. So why'd they have to come and steal the Palestinians' land? You know, she's a rabid pro-Palestinian apologist. And everybody knows her. Anybody that worked with her or know anything about her knew that's, you know, that's just the way she was. But she knew how to phrase her public statements so as to not appear to be a Jew hater. And there are many people in Washington just like her. But apparently she was old. She was getting very old. And I guess she was starting to lose her political savvy, at least temporarily, when she made that statement. And she spoke the unvarnished truth about what she really feels and believes. That ended her career.